Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that your eye is on the sparrow and you continue to watch over us. Speak to our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit and illuminate our minds to focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me call your attention to the back of your worship bulletin as we read God's word together from Nehemiah, the 5th chapter, the first 7 verses. Nehemiah chapter 5. Please locate the scriptorial passage as we read it together as the people of God. Let us prepare our hearts as we read the scriptorial passage together. A great protest was mounted by the people, including the wives, against their fellow Jews. Some said, "We have big families and we need the food just to survive." Others said, "We have to mortgage our fields and vineyards and homes to get enough grain to keep from starving." And others said, "We're having to borrow money to pay the royal tax on our fields and vineyards. Look, we're the same flesh and blood as our brothers here. Our children are just as good as theirs. Yet here we're having to sell our children off as slaves. Some of our daughters have already been sold, and we can't do anything about it because our fields and vineyards are owned by somebody else." I got really angry when I heard their protests and complaints. After thinking it over, I called the nobles and officers on the carpet. I said, the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, a question, what's going on? Look to a neighbor and ask the question, what's going on? Amen. It has well been noted that it occurred one summer in a country church. The window was open and a bird flew into the sanctuary while they were having service. And that bird was trying to find a way to get out of the sanctuary. Frantically, that bird was flying under and around the pews, trying to find a way to navigate to get out of the sanctuary. There was a woman who was in the back row and she was looking at this bird and she thought to herself, how foolish is this bird? Why not just go out of the same window that you entered? Well, that bird was continually struggling, trying to find a way out of the sanctuary. And lo and behold, that bird noticed the exit from that same window he entered. And then he flew out of the window to liberty, singing, praising. And that woman thought for a moment, as it relates to her own spiritual journey, and she asked a question. That's the first question in your sermon notes, is this question: am I not acting as foolishly as I thought the bird was? Because she looked at her own life and she said, I've been struggling, frantically struggling, trying to release myself from sin and have liberty. And yet God has opened the window of grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. And she entered in. We're here this morning by the grace of Almighty God. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I thank God for His grace. Even though this world in which we live, it continues to move at a rapid pace, there seems as though when we get one situation solved, there's another situation that's occurring. It doesn't take long. You can just look around the community. You can read the newspaper. You can see what's happening around the globe. And even as it relates to the aftermath of what's occurring in the United Kingdom, it makes you just say at the core of your heart these words, second bullet point. The world we live in can almost make our blood what? Boil, can't it? It makes your blood boil. But how are we to respond? Well, we're to respond the same way that Jesus responded on several different occasions. In several moments, Jesus would rise to the occasion, regardless of how heated the situation, regardless of the outcome and all the chaos, Jesus would be cool, calm, and collected. We too are called to demonstrate that those same characteristics. We're to be cool when we're under fire. We're to be calm in every situation. And then lastly, we're to be collective and have our minds and thoughts focused on the Word of God. For Jesus is the same, according to Hebrews, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and when? Tomorrow. You can count on Him. Well, I don't know about you, but with all that's going on in our world, I think about it. My mind strolled back to one of the hits in the 70s. It occurred in 1971 from a preacher's son. His name was Marvin Gaye. How many of you remember that song, What's Going On? Yeah, I figured you did. Asking, what's going on? What is happening now? It could have easily been in the context of what occurred in the lives of those who were in Orlando at the Pulse nightclub 2 weeks ago. Now folks have signs all in the Orlando area where we held our annual conference a couple weeks ago. Signs that says, Orlando strong, stop the violence, gun control, Jesus love. To remind us that even in the worst of situations, God continues to provide grace, love, and hope. Amen? That God's people will rise to the occasion, but you have to ask yourselves, what is going on? I love the first stanza of the song by Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye says, mothers, mothers, too many of you are what? Crying. Brothers, brothers, far too many of you are what? Dying. You know, we have to find what? A way. And guess what is the way? L-O-V-E. Love is the way. That's paraphrasing it, but love is the way. Love is the answer. But it's the third line that I want to place emphasis on this morning because it relates to the text and the people of Nehemiah's day who had the great protests and complaints. Look at the third line of Marvin Gaye's song. Picket lines and picket signs. Don't punish me with your brutality. Talk to me so we can what? See. Oh, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on? What is happening now? You look at the text in Nehemiah, the fifth chapter, and Nehemiah could have asked the same question that Marvin Gaye shared and asked in 1971 concerning the conditions of Nehemiah's time. You look closely in Nehemiah chapter 5, and the Bible takes a shift. In fact, there are two references as it relates to Nehemiah chapter 5 that I want to point out. Number one, if you read Nehemiah chapter 4, the first four chapters, you'll see that all the opposition that Nehemiah and the people of his day was experiencing occurred when? From those on the outside of the walls. Those who were on the outside, those who were in opposition, those who were enemies, those who were player haters, if you will, who were against Nehemiah and Nehemiah's people, they were on the outside. Sanballat, Tobias, and Geshem. All three, they continued to wreak havoc. They continued to have words of discouragement. Do you recall the song that Manley just finished singing? His eye is on the sparrow. And it has a line in there that deals with, sometimes I am discouraged. A sense of discouragement. And even in Nehemiah's day, he had his three main enemies who would continue to poke fun and to laugh at Nehemiah and the people trying to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, trying to pretend that they're so in love with Judea that they're going to rebuild the walls and make it strong again. Just the four chapters dealing with Nehemiah, the cupbearer, who was part of the establishment of King Artaxerxes. And here's Nehemiah dealing with that situation. But look what happens in the fifth chapter. In the fifth chapter, the Bible acknowledges it's not those who are on the outside. Hello. But it's those who are on the inside who are now protesting and complaining. And they had a good reason to as well. But if you read Nehemiah, the fifth chapter in its entirety and the 19 verses, you'll notice that it is not in chronological order, nor is the Bible. The Bible is not recorded in chronological order. It doesn't mean that there's, you know, some parts of the Bibles that are not true, but they're not in what we call today chronological order in the setting. You can see that by looking at the beginning of passages, at the beginning of chapters, and you'll see where there are different time periods. Nehemiah, the fifth chapter. It's not in chronological order because actually Nehemiah is now governor. While he's rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. You'll see that in the bottom part. And it really should be first. But we have it here that he's dealing with a situation that's very sensitive to the people of God. And you can hear him saying, what's going on? Doesn't take long to see that. Look again at the very first verse. Because things happen that normally doesn't happen. It's how things work out even in our lives each and every day. A situation that you think is going to go the same way, seamless, can just turn in a moment. I wish he was here. He was here several weeks ago. We had a gentleman who was wearing a Golden State Warriors shirt. It seemed as though they were going to win the championship. Hello? Oh, but they were going against the James. Some of you will get that on the way home. And it turned. Well, you look at the passage of Nehemiah, and it doesn't take long to see events will turn. Because it deals with one group that channels the entire fifth chapter. I want to read the line again. Listen to this well. A great protest was mounted by the people, including, you see that in bold, the wives against the Jews. I said this at the last service, and I want you men just look straight ahead. Wives have a way of speaking. And your wife has a way of speaking that you will pay attention. Just look straight ahead. Yeah. It happened in the text. It was the wives that called attention to the unfairness of what was going on. What was occurring not from those on the outside, but what? From those who are on the inside. It's easy to pray for situations that occur around the globe. But how well do we pray when they're in our backyard? We held candles after candles for those who were dealing with tragic situations. For example, even our brothers and sisters in Virginia and even those who are experiencing massive shootings across the United States. But all 2 weeks ago in our backyard in Central Florida, it happened. And we need to continue to pray for the LGBTQ community, because we have been given grace and we're to extend grace to others. Amen? You look closely at this passage of scripture and you'll see how Nehemiah, it touched him at his very core, at his very being. In fact, there are three reasons, and I'm going to give them to you. If you'd like to write them down, here they are. Number one, three reasons for the complaints. Famine. Famine. A famine was in the land. They were without food. Those who were making the necessary sacrifices and helping rebuild the wall with Nehemiah, now they had hunger pains. If you've ever been there, you know exactly what they were experiencing. They now were experiencing famine. They couldn't provide food, substance for the offsprings and themselves. It was a famine in the land. Not only that, they had to deal with Uncle Sam. Taxes. Taxes. You might want to write that down. Wasn't Uncle Sam doing that day? It was actually King Artaxerxes and Queen Esther. You'll see here that they had to pay the royal taxes. And some people, even though they owned land and vineyards and houses, they had to mortgage their houses in order to give, to pay the taxes to the royal establishment. And then lastly, the usury. The usury. This indeed was wrong. And you can see why Nehemiah was upset, because even if you look just at the usury here, it was having interest, adding on interest. If you were someone loaned you a dollar and they would add on interest, during this time in biblical history, that was against and forbidden against the laws of God. You want to read that? Look in Leviticus, the 25th chapter. This was wrong. You could not add interest. If you give a dollar, you're supposed to receive a dollar. Now, I don't want you to go down to Sun Bank or Bank of America or Wachovia in the morning and tell them I've been reading Leviticus, the 25th chapter, and you can't charge me. That won't work. Amen. Amen. I haven't even tried that one. But you see here in the text, the Bible says in Nehemiah, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, that Nehemiah was what? Angry. He was angry. Here you have a believer, a follower of God, a follower of Yahweh, and he was angry, and he had every right to be. The Bible tells us as believers, as Christians, indeed, there's nothing wrong with being angry. The Bible says, be angry and what? Sin not. Even Jesus, when he had gone into the temple on one occasion and he noticed the money changers, the machinery going on, what did he do? The Bible says he became angry and he kicked them out. And he said to them, my house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. But you made it a den of thieves. He was angry. Nehemiah was upset, frustrated, because of what was going on and the oppression of the people. And look how Nehemiah responded. As a governor, Nehemiah had all types of wealth and had things at his disposal and at his hand. So Nehemiah decided that he would not only call out the others to the carpet, the noble ones and the officials, but he himself would call himself out. And that they would not oppress the people, but help the people. They have been blessed. Now they too must be a blessing to others. And you see here that the Bible records that Nehemiah, he helped 150 people. He was willing to make a sacrifice himself as well. He was being blessed by God to help rebuild the walls, rebuild lives, rebuild the community, and make a difference. He responded to the question, what's going on? Because Nehemiah got actively involved in what was happening in his world and in his community. And today in the world in which we live, we need love, love, and more sweet love. Look at the conclusion of Nehemiah, the 5th chapter and the 19th verse. Let me read it to you. Nehemiah goes back and he deals with a key word. Listen well. Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. He asks God to remember him. It is though Nehemiah has a file cabinet, because if you remember Nehemiah, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse, that was our vacation Bible school verse. It says, remember the Lord is great and what? Awesome. And Nehemiah, it wants God to remember. He wants God to file it away, how he has made the necessary sacrifice to make a difference in the lives of others. Here's Nehemiah willing to show that indeed I'm grateful. I have a grateful heart. I'm not selfish. I'm not overlooking those who don't have. I'm willing to assist as well and make a difference in the lives of others. Why? Because Nehemiah realized that God's grace had brought him thus far. And God's grace will lead him on. And he remembered that indeed the Lord is great and awesome. And he wanted God to remember the goodness of his day. But likewise, we should do good. And we should remember how far God has brought us. Amen? And we're to remember that if it wasn't for the grace of God, life would be different. Amen? Oh, you heard me say it so often. All of us in here are bad. It's just some of us are worse than others. All come from the same mold. It's just we all, you know, have a way of being molded differently, but it's by the grace of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Amen. And we all have received God's grace. And it's by God's grace that he woke us up this morning and started us on our way and allow us to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Grace, grace, grace. The grace that is open to you and to me. It is just like that window that the bird flew out. God's grace is available. God's grace is open. God's grace is free. God's grace is greater than our sins. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen.